Let's open our Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 10 today, where we are looking at Hezekiah's rededication of the temple and of the worship inside that temple and his preparation for a great revival Passover, not just simply for the people of the southern kingdom of Judah that he's king over, but he also sends out an invitation to the northern kingdom of Israel to come home to God, to repent and come to the temple complex for Passover and rededicate yourself to the one and true living God so that he can have mercy and compassion upon all those Israelis already gone into Assyrian exile, as well as those that will be going into Assyrian exile. So that message went out by courier to all of the region of ancient Israel, from Beersheba in the south all the way to Dan in the north. 2 Chronicles 30 verse 10 tells us about the majority response in the northern kingdom. So the couriers went from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, and as far as Zebulun, which is north of the Sea of Galilee. But they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. So the majority response is to make fun of this offer of repentance and recommitment to the one true God. And that's too bad, because this is pretty much their last chance. The year that this is all taking place is 726 BC. Next year, in 725 BC, the king of Samaria, the new king, Shalmaneser V, is going to send his forces against northern Israel and set up a siege against the capital city of Samaria. And within 3 years of that, the northern kingdom will be done, and the full exile will take place. So this is their last chance. Now, thankfully, a minority, a small number of northern Israeli citizens do take Hezekiah up on his offer. Verse 11, however, some men of Asher, of Manasseh, and of Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. So basically, people from the regions of Galilee and the regions to the north of the capital city of Samaria, those areas, for some reason, spawned some repentant people. And they came for worship at the temple. Verse 12, the hand of God was also on Judah to give them one heart to do what the king and the princes commanded by the word of he who is. So things are looking up in the southern kingdom of Judah right now because of the repentant, revivalist heart of King Hezekiah. Verse 13, many people came together in Jerusalem to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread in the second month, a very great assembly. All right, so we're talking about the rededication, the reinstitution of proper worship in southern Judah. That all took place in the first half of April of 726 BC. Now, they are gathering together in mid-May for this alternate Passover, because they weren't ready yet to do the proper Passover celebration in connection with the reinstitution of worship back in April. So they have this huge assembly of people coming together. Many people came to Jerusalem to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread in the second month, a very great assembly. They set to work and removed the altars that were in Jerusalem and all the altars for burning incense they took away and threw in the Kidron Valley. Now, that's probably a verse describing what had happened back in April, that was part of the cleansing process that already took place. All of the pagan altars that Ahaz had set up, all of those were dismantled and taken out and destroyed and disposed of in the Kidron Valley, which is east of the city of Jerusalem. Verse 15, they slaughtered the Passover lambs on the 14th day of the second month, and the priests and the Levites were ashamed, so that they consecrated themselves and brought burnt offerings into the house of He Who Is. Now, what's this thing about the shame? A lot of these guys let King Ahaz roll over them. Some of the older priests are ashamed that they did not stand up to King Ahaz, the unrighteous king, whenever he started shutting things down, the appropriate worship, and started setting inappropriate worship sites up. And so now here they are starting fresh, but they're embarrassed that this has had to happen. Verse 16, they took their accustomed posts according to the law of Moses, the man of God. The priests threw the blood that they received from the hand of the Levites, for there were many in the assembly who had not consecrated themselves. Now, this is the other problem they ran into. A lot of the priests are still not back where they belong. And so they are not able to participate in these ceremonies. And so the Levites are having to give extraordinary assistance to the priests who are prepared to do these things. Therefore, the Levites had to slaughter the Passover lamb for everyone who was not clean to consecrate it to He Who Is. So it's not just some of the priests who have got cleanliness issues, and we're not talking about hygiene here, we're talking about spiritual stuff. It's also the worshipers. They have come, many of them, out of northern Israel. And they have been engaged in sinful behavior that should have taken some procedures to get through. And they may not have arrived until last minute. And so they are not technically able to go through some of the ceremonies, such as setting your Passover lamb aside for 4 days before the Passover. They're not able to get those things done properly. So these Levites, the righteous Levites, are trying to make up the gap for a lot of these people. Verse 18, for a majority of the people, many of them from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun had not cleansed themselves, yet they ate the Passover otherwise than as prescribed. So even though they were not technically purified on the day that they butchered the Passover lamb and gathered in their rooms to eat that meat along with the unleavened bread and the bitter herbs, even though they were not technically clean in order to do that, they did it anyway because they were desperate to make things right with God. They hadn't been able to come the month before, because even the temple wasn't ready for it. And now here they are at the secondary Passover, and some of them, because they've traveled from the northern kingdom, they're not ready either. So what happens? Hezekiah had prayed for them, saying, may the good He Who Is pardon everyone who sets his heart to seek God, He Who Is, the God of his fathers, even though not according to the sanctuary's rules of cleanness. So Hezekiah intercedes on behalf of everyone and talks to God and says, God, please, these guys are not technically clean in order to eat the Passover meal, but their hearts are on the right track, It's just a matter of the days needed or the hours needed for them to finish the technical rules. Please, God, look at their hearts and accept them. And so, what happens? Verse 20. He who has heard Hezekiah and healed the people. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean some of them were ill because they had been eating the Passover meals technically unclean? Excuse me. Or does it mean that they were concerned that God might strike them down with some sort of punishment for eating the meals unclean? I think that's the more likely answer to the question here. And that Hezekiah told them, you go ahead, you eat these meals, and we'll ask God to be merciful to you on the technicalities. Because this reminds us of something from another passage we've had not too long ago, where Jesus even told the Pharisees, you need to go back and read the scripture and understand what this means. God says, I desire mercy rather than sacrifice. So God is looking for a heart that is doing its best to seek him out. That's the type of humbleness that God is looking for. And so this little technicality that these guys are violating, God is willing to give them a pass. Verse number 21. The people of Israel who were present at Jerusalem kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised He Who Is day by day, singing with all their might to He Who Is. So the Feast of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is hot on the heels of Passover night, lasts technically 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, and the 21st days of the first Jewish month. So in this particular year, we're talking about the 14th through the 21st of May, I believe, of 726 BC. And so every day they're having special services in the temple, and they're doing lots of singing, lots of praising. Verse 22, apparently Hezekiah is getting into the public ceremonies. Hezekiah spoke encouragingly to all the Levites who showed good skill in the service of He Who Is. So they ate the food of the festival for 7 days, sacrificing peace offerings and giving thanks to He Who Is, the God of their fathers. Then the whole assembly agreed together to keep the feast for another 7 days. So they are so excited about this restart to their covenant relationship with God. This grand Passover, which some of the northern Israelis haven't ever done in their entire life. They are so excited about this opportunity that they want to lengthen it. They want to stretch it out a whole nother week, which God doesn't have a problem with that. The priests and the Levites don't have a problem with that. Hezekiah, in fact, does not have a problem with it. He wants to encourage it. So they kept it another 7 days with gladness. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, gave the assembly 1,000 bulls and 7,000 sheep for offerings. And the princes gave the assembly 1,000 bulls and 10,000 sheep. And the priests consecrated themselves in great numbers. The whole assembly of Judah and the priests and the Levites and the whole assembly that came out of Israel and the sojourners that came out of the land of Israel and the sojourners who lived in Judah rejoiced. So we've got everybody excited about 14 days of Passover celebration, unleavened bread celebration, re-establishment of the covenant with God celebration. The Judeans are mentioned here. The Israelis from the northern kingdom are mentioned here. But also we've got what we'd probably refer to as proselytes, that is, non-Israelis who have decided they want to worship the God of Israel as their God. So these are the sojourners, both from northern Israel and from southern Judah. They also are participating in this great restart. Verse 26, so there was great joy in Jerusalem. For since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there had been nothing like this in Jerusalem. Now, northern Israel, when we're looking at this, has been in existence for 214 years, which means that the temple has been around for almost 250 years. So they've not had this type of celebration since the time when the temple was initially dedicated. And everyone's excited about it. Verse 27. Then the priests and the Levites arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came to his holy habitation in heaven. And what's their prayer? They're begging God's forgiveness. They're begging God's forgiveness for rebelling against him and for not living by the covenant. They want a fresh start. Chapter 31. And so this would have happened at the end of the month, because their celebrations would have finished on the 28th day of the second Jewish month. When all this was finished, all Israel who were present went out into the cities of Judah, and they broke in pieces the pillars and cut down the Asherim and broke down the high places and the altars throughout all Judah and Benjamin. So we're going to refer to this as the post-festival purge. So at the beginning of the first Jewish month in Hezekiah's first year on the throne, they purged the temple complex, and Jerusalem. They got rid of all of the pagan paraphernalia that had crept in during the reign of King Ahaz. Then in the second month, they had their double-sized secondary Passover celebration. And when that was over with, they were all so wound up, so excited about this restart, that the Judeans went back to their hometowns, back to their home regions, and they started getting rid of all the pagan altars and paraphernalia that had crept into their communities and trashed it all. And it wasn't just Judeans. It says here that in Ephraim and Manasseh, they were doing this until they had destroyed them all. So Ephraim and Manasseh stand here for northern Israel. So the northern Israeli citizens who came to Jerusalem for this great Passover of King Hezekiah, they were so committed that when they went back to their areas in the northern kingdom, they started getting rid of the worship paraphernalia in their communities. No doubt they started with anything they had. They probably started getting rid of anything connected with the golden calf or Baal or Asherah. Remember that they were getting rid of the pillars of Baal and the Asherim, the wooden pillars of Asherah down in southern Judah. So they were probably doing that as well up in northern Israel from these revivalists, these people that had their hearts changed down in Jerusalem. And they may have even started evangelizing as best they could their neighbors and their other community members to try to get them to get rid of this stuff so that God could have some compassion on them whenever the judgment of the Assyrians began the next year. last part of verse 1. Then all the people of Israel returned to their cities, every man to his possession. So everybody's gone back to where they started the year, back to their home places. Now Hezekiah is still wanting to oversee this restart of the faith. Verse 2, Hezekiah appointed the divisions of the priests and of the Levites, division by division, each according to his service, the priests and the Levites, for burnt offerings and peace offerings, to minister in the gates of the camp of he who is to give thanks and praise. His father, Ahaz, had dumped all of the procedures for proper worship in the temple complex at Jerusalem. So Hezekiah takes it upon himself to make sure all of that is restarted, which included the rotations of the priestly divisions. Remember, there were 24 divisions. Each one served a week at a time. And same thing with the Levites. There were 24 divisions. Each one served a week at a time. And so those are all now back in place. Verse 3. The contribution of the king from his own possessions was for the burnt offerings of morning and evening, and the burnt offering for the Sabbaths, the new moons, and the appointed feasts, as it is written in the law of he who is. There was also supposed to be special sacrifices offered for everyone on certain occasions. Two each day, morning, afternoon, and then there was supposed to be one on the Sabbath day, actually a couple on the Sabbath day. There was supposed to be one for the new moon, the beginning of each month, and all the festivals. So Hezekiah says, I will supply all of those sacrifices. And then he commanded the people who lived in Jerusalem to give the portion due to the priests and the Levites that they might give themselves to the law of he who is. The priests and the Levites are supposed to be supported by the tithes from all the other people. And apparently that had also fallen off. So Hezekiah makes sure that is put back in place. As soon as the command was spread abroad, the people of Israel gave in abundance the first fruits of grain, wine, oil, honey, and all the produce of the field. And they brought in abundantly the tithe of everything. So the tithe starts coming in as the spring harvests begin. And it keeps coming in until tabernacles, when the final fall harvests are finished. So the people of Israel and Judah who lived in the cities of Judah also brought in the tithe of cattle and sheep, the tithe of the dedicated things that had been dedicated to he who is their God, and laid them in heaps. So they're bringing in the whole tithe to the storehouses, particularly to Jerusalem. In the third month, they begin to pile up the heaps, because that's typically when the grain harvests are finished, and finish them in the seventh month, because that's when the summer fruit harvests are finished. When Hezekiah and the princes came and saw the heaps, they blessed he who is and his people Israel, and Hezekiah questioned the priests and the Levites about the heaps. So he wants to know, how are things going, what needs to happen next. Azariah, the chief priest, who was of the house of Zadok, answered, since they began to bring the contributions into the house of the Lord, we have eaten and had enough and had plenty left. For he who is has blessed his people so that we have this large amount left. So the report from the high priest, which I'm going to acknowledge, this high priest was in place when Ahaz was in charge, and he allowed Ahaz to do some horrible things. But now he's apparently repented, and he's trying to do things right. But his report to King Hezekiah is, yes, sir, this tithe has made sure that all of us who are in priestly service, who are in Levitical service, are supported. And we have enough not just for eating right now, but enough to put away for later eating. Because that's why you would need to bring in a tenth of the entire harvest so that the priests and Levites could eat through the rest of the year. So the report is, things are working exactly as God designed it through King David. And thank you very much for that. Now, Hezekiah is not yet done. He's going to do some other things, including storage issues. But we've run out of time for today. So let's mark our places there in 2 Chronicles 31:11. And next week, we'll get back into God's Word.